B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the program. Felger and Maserati on a Monday, a re-entry Monday. Got Felger here back in the A-hole chair. We got Big Jim Murray in the Maz chair, Matt McCarthy in the update studio. Hi, fellas.
Good, you?
I refuse to engage in any pleasantries. I will not be trapped.
I'm just peachy. Jim, thank you for asking. I do appreciate it. Matt, good to see you as always. You watched the Patriots last Thursday night. I assume you did.
Yeah.
Given you did pre and post.
I did, yeah. No, I was pumped for it.
How'd you feel about the young quarterback there? For the Patriots.
He looked pretty good.
Oh, so you think he looked pretty good, Murray?
Yeah, if nothing else, the kid looked comfortable. And for his first real NFL action, albeit a preseason game, I can't help but come away from that being impressed, and everyone should be, that he never looked rattled. He never looked sped up. He never looked like how those other two quarterbacks looked for the Detroit Lions, where any semblance of a pass rush, it was, you never saw that at all with Jared Stidham. The kid looked pretty good.
So you seem pleased and impressed. Then why do I sense this undercurrent of anger with you as it relates to Jared Stidham and the coverage of Jared Stidham?
Well, there is a little bit of an undercurrent.
I'll read your email again. Very salty.
Well, no, not even the email today. What I've been a little
angry,
bit annoyed.
Borderline angry.
What I've been annoyed with the coverage of Jared Stidham is, it's funny, ever since we now know the details of Tom Brady's fake extension, just a pay bump, that's all he got a week from this last Sunday, a lot of glowing, ooh, boy, keep it in your pants type just conversation and coverage of Jared Stidham. Like, all right, he looked pretty good. And I guess he's had a couple of good days at camp. But where's this coming from? I find the timing a little bit curious, is all.
Oh, so what are you saying? I'm sorry. Flush that out a little bit.
I feel like that there is a propaganda arm to pump up this kid to help expedite the Tom Brady departure. If you really want to get down to the heart.
Oh, I like that. I like that. So you're saying Belichick has activated the cartel.
Yes.
To pump the tires of Jared Stidham.
Uh-huh.
To soften the blow of blowing off Brady, or to promote the next guy, or whatever. That's the play. There is a
feels a little bit like that to me.
I like it, Murray.
Yeah, it feels a little bit like that. And, you know, I go back to how Bill glowingly talked about Jimmy Garoppolo at the time, and saying, I remember there was after that, you know, it was in the season, or it was to practice. Or either way, he was saying it looks the same at practice. Remember when Garoppolo was here?
Like, yeah,
really,
yeah, right.
No difference at all between Jimmy Garoppolo and Tom Brady. Okay, a little bit curious that you would say that kind of thing. So it's more to me at this point, and the way that this contract, again, the fake extension, has kind of played out here, it does feel like it is year to year. We don't know whether or not a team is going to call Tom Brady at 401 at the end of the league year, offer him 35 guaranteed, 40 guaranteed. I don't think the Patriots would match it, because Bill would lose his mind. He would never let that happen. So Tom could essentially play for another team next season. It could happen. And so Jared Stidham or someone else could be the heir apparent, because it's about the offense. It's about Bill's system. It's about that at this point. I think Bill wants to move on. I think it's very important for him to wrap up his career trying to win with someone else. I do think that matters to him.
Okay, so we got to separate the two, though. You feel you're being played by the Patriots media cartel.
A little bit, yeah.
Which bugs you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just take that out and watch it in a vacuum, pretty good.
Kid looked good. He did.
Pretty good. McCarthy, what do you think?
Yeah, I thought he looked pretty good, for whatever that means. And again, it's fake football, all right? So am I really going to overreact to what I saw from some third-string quarterback against third- and fourth-string players for the Detroit Lions? No, I'm not going to do that. He looked great. Cool. But can we talk about him first taking Brian Hoyer's job before we talk about him taking Tom Brady's job? All right, he could go out there and go full mallet next weekend against the Titans, and none of this discussion for this entire week would ever matter.
It just feels...
I don't really care about that. I'm glad he looked good, but again, it's fake football. I'm not going to overreact.
And some of the coverage just feels a little bit premature. And those that are down there every single day, I know, well, you come down and cover it. No, because that takes a lot of effort and work, and I'm not doing that. I'm comfortable here, making my opinions behind a microphone. But that being said, they put in hard work. I trust their judgment. And Jeff Howe of The Athletic had been covering this team for a long time. And for him to say, in his 11 years, it's the best he's ever seen a rookie quarterback look. And like some of this stuff, it's like, all right, pump the brakes a little bit.
It's
too early to talk about Jared Stidham like this.
Wait, you think, for example, you mentioned Jeff Howe in The Athletic. Nick Underhill, his story in The Athletic from over the weekend. Headline, with one impressive night, quarterback Jared Stidham shows he can play at this level. His lead, quarterbacks either have it or they don't. Jared Stidham has it. You think that's a little premature?
Yeah, it might be, yeah.
Stidham can play, and he validated the strong impressions created so far in training camp against the Lions. The numbers don't tell the full story. Three of Stidham's best passes ended up falling incomplete. They were drops. Jeff Howe, his headline, talent, intelligence, confidence. Stidham's ceiling with Patriots could be sky high. That's the headline. He writes, the Patriots may have struck gold as Stidham has blown away all expectations over the past 3 months. By showcasing incredible accuracy through 19 practices over the spring and summer and in the preseason opener against the Lions, he already looks ahead of where Jimmy Garoppolo was at this point of his 2014 rookie season. As Stidham makes a few highlight reel throws during most of his workouts and performs with enough consistency to suggest this isn't a fluke. Howe writes, Stidham's poise, consistency, and ability to lead his teammates have been evident since he reported to Gillette Stadium in the spring. They're all traits he's shown throughout his career, conveying the tantalizing, ever-growing possibility the Patriots have a franchise quarterback in the making.
If he's so tantalizing, why did he last until the fourth round?
The potential exists for Jared Stidham to be there, to be the heir to Tom Brady's throne.
Yeah, he's got beautiful locks, too.
So, wait, so you think some of it's just a little much?
Doesn't it?
Okay.
I'm not alone in thinking this, right? Come on. Like, this feels premature, and it feels a little bit... It feels like a pushed narrative.
I thought he looked really good. I really liked it. And you know what it drove home to me? Here's my takeaway. And it's not because of Thursday night. This is something I've been saying for a long time. So... Thursday night was just another small, fake football, little incremental percentage reminder of what I think is the most important thing for the Patriots long term. And that is Bill Belichick picks the next quarterback. Bill Belichick coaches the next quarterback. Bill Belichick, that the next quarterback comes up into the system, into this world with Bill as the coach and them still on their thing that they're on right now. That, to me, is the most important thing, because I can't tell you whether what we saw from Stidham on Thursday is about Jared Stidham or the difference between Bill Belichick and the Patriots and Matt Patricia and the Lions. Because, you know, I mean, how do you really know? I mean, right, he lasted to the fourth round. He doesn't have some raw, you know, consensus athletic ability or quarterbacking ability that everyone says this guy's a can't-miss kid. So, I don't know if the... I mean, I liked it.
I mean, scouts get it wrong all the time, from Brady right. to Russell Wilson. Maybe this kid's next, so you can't even think about that.
But here's what I do know. Where Bill Belichick and the Patriots are, and Matt, that bozo, that fat dump bozo Matt Patricia, and where the Lions are, is the Grand Canyon, and that's the league, okay? And that's not just Matt Patricia and the Lions. That's Bill Belichick and most everybody else. If I am the owner of the Patriots, if I'm the owner of the Patriots, and I am Robert Kraft, I make sure that the next quarterback comes up into this world, comes into the world under Bill Belichick in this system. And maybe that's Jared Stidham. Maybe that was Jimmy Garoppolo. Maybe it's the next guy. I don't know. But I think that is the most important thing that this team can do. I want Bill picking, coaching, developing the next guy. I want him bringing the next Patriots quarterback into this world. And that's what I want. So... if Brady tells me that he's going to play for 5 more years and they sign Brady for... Belichick. If Belichick says I'm coaching for 5 more years, then it doesn't have to be Jared Stidham. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If Belichick is going to coach for 5 more years, then they can screw around with Brady and screw around with the quarterback thing, fine. Because Bill's going to be here eventually to pick the next guy and bring the next guy into the world. If Bill tells Robert that I've got 3 years left, if Bill tells Bill now, if Bill says... I'm only going to coach for 2 or 3 more years. Then that accelerates my decision making from the ownership standpoint of the quarterback. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because yeah. I screwed up the name there. I hope I didn't confuse you. It's about Belichick's timeline.
If Belichick is saying to the Krafts, he's out in 3 years, Brady's got to go after this season.
Yep, that's it. Mm-hmm. That's it. If Bill has 3 years left, I borderline force the departure of Brady next year to let Bill start working with the next guy. I think it's. It scares the crap out of me to think that Brady hangs on so long that he outlives Belichick. And the next guy picking, developing is Josh McDaniels and what this whole program looks like at that point, because their whole staff is gone. It's all kids and bobos on the staff. I don't know what they're left with. All these assistants have left or want to leave. All these scouts, and that, never mind the chief scout, has left or wants to leave. I don't know what the staff looks like. To me, it's all about Bill. I want Bill picking the next guy and bring him into the world. So if Bill only has a couple of years left and I'm the owner, I let the quarterback, meaning Brady, go early so Bill can pick the next guy.
Mike, Jim, as a fan, I hate this, but if I'm the owners and if I'm Jonathan Kraft in particular, you know, knowing that this is going to be my team eventually, I can kind of see that perspective. Like, in my seat, I absolutely hate that idea of essentially forcing Tom Brady out maybe earlier than you think. But if I'm in that position, I look at it maybe a little bit differently.
Well, with the way that the contract is structured for Brady, doesn't that feel like that's where they're setting
up?
That's where we're heading.
Yep. It's the way they set it up.
I'm with Matt, too. I hate this, but looking at the way that this deal is set up, and it's year to year, and at 401, he's officially a free agent for the first time, an unrestricted free agent for the first time in his career, this is where we're headed.
And to me, if Bill's only got a set amount of time, it's the right thing for them to do. Bill's got to be the... And I say got to be. The number one thing that scares me is Bill departs. McDaniels isn't any good. I mean, I like him. I want him to be the next coach, but Lord knows he was a freaking disaster everywhere else he's been. And so McDaniels takes over. The thing sort of starts to unravel. They lose the culture. They just lose their bearings from where they are right now. And now you're trying to find the next quarterback, and you bring the quarterback in. You bring a good quarterback into a bad situation. I don't care how good the guy is. You're behind the eight ball. It's the coaching. It's the coach quarterback. It's the culture, and it's the coaching, and it's the system, I believe, in most cases, that you bring that quarterback into. And boy, if they've got to wait 4 years for Brady to finish up and Bill's done by then, and then what the whole thing looks like, that if I'm Robert Kraft, that scares the crap out of me. Because so now back to Stidham. Because I'm not down there watching practice, but I do know at Auburn he played in one of these stupid
shotgun spread offenses,
never under center, doesn't know anything about a 5-step drop, 7-step drop. It's, you know, shotgun, chuck and duck, throwing sideways, inside screen, like that whole crappy, you know. Did you see him under center with the 7-step drop and the poise in the pocket? Like,
yeah,
he just got his ass coached up in the last 4 months.
On the touchdown that got called back, he's calling an audible onto that play.
So all of a sudden,
no, it looked very professional. I will give him that. Like, the kid looked good.
It looked, but see, I have a hard time separating. Is that Stidham? Or is that him getting his ass coached up in 4 months and now like that?
And that's why we don't know, because it could be the latter, because look what they got out of Matt Cassel, who's a bum.
This is what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
This is what I'm talking about. And I just think, boy, you want to get the next quarterback right? You just increase your chances so much if it's Bill. And if it's, and the closer you are to this window, the closer you are to this run, the better off you are. Will you be sacrificing something in the short term? You probably will. But I just think you increase your chances so much. So this is all a long way of saying I was really impressed with Stidham, but I don't know how much of that was him and how much of that was Bill. Because, boy, was Stidham protected? Did he have time on some of those?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean,
the offensive line was good.
The gap between the Patriots second string and the Lions second string is like a different league. And so I just think you bring that next guy in and you give him that head start. You give him that wind at his sails, and that's what I want. Maybe it's Stidham, maybe it's not. I don't know. I still think he throws weird. Am I the only one?
No, there's the release.
He's out here.
Yeah, thank you. Like the how he brings the ball up, some of them I'm like, Jesus, are you throwing a rock?
Is Zoe in his car yet? When Zoe gets in his car, I want to ask him. I don't know. I like the quarterbacks who are up here behind their ear, over their shoulder, like, you know, like Brady, like the classic behind your ear. That's where you throw the ball. And he's sort of out here. He's out, like at 2 o'clock. I'm like, I don't know, is that right? I mean, he throws a great ball, but are they going to let that stand? I don't know. I worry about where that ball starts out here.
And this is another thing that makes me believe it's just premature to assess this kid from camp and this one game. And I think with quarterbacks,
can I just stop you?
Yeah,
it's not premature. It's way premature to assess Stidham. Way premature. It's not premature to assess Belichick. That's not premature. And that was just one little taste to me of life without Brady, but it's still fine because you still have the coaching and the structure and the team. And if I'm the Crafts, that's what I want it to look like. I'm late. I'm sorry. We'll get to your thing right after these words. Felger and Maz on a Monday.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Mark it to the 46-yard line of the Lions. Back to pass. Plenty of time to Stidham. He looks. Still has time. Throws over the middle. Caught. Complete. For the Patriots and another first down, as that was Jacoby Myers. Who else? A couple of touchdown receptions in the first half, and the rookie out of NC State with a long gain there, setting up a first and 10 on the 20-yard line with 1:14 to go.
A, it was a laser beam. B, had nice patience there getting that thing into Myers in a tight window.
That should have been the one that opened up everyone's eyes. The deep in cut to Myers there in the second quarter, where Jared Stidham stood in the pocket. He got all day. So, again, credit to the tackles there. They gave him a great pocket. And he stood in there and delivered this rope over the middle to Myers, 26 yards. But to me, I mean, you all should have went, whoa. And you know why you should have went, whoa? Not that it was the hardest play in the history of the world or that makes, you know, some sort of special play. But, again, this is a guy. He was in the shotgun there. I just wanted to check that out. That he was in the shotgun. But this is a guy who never played under center in college, was someone who was used to running around in a college offense with that stupid spread, running sideways, throwing in huge windows. That's not the way you play in college. You don't sit back there seven steps and just let the play develop like that and then, you know, throw it into a tight window 20 yards down the field. That's not... He didn't do that at Auburn. Or that's not what he was. No, I didn't. And I didn't watch him at Auburn either, but that was the whole.
That's not what the offense is.
And it's not what the college game is. And it's not his, again, his scouting report was that he gets happy feet. He runs out of trouble. He gets flustered in the pocket. He's not a pocket. It's just, those guys are rare in college. So he's another one of those guys. And I'll take the scouting reports at their word. And now you get to the first preseason game, and he's standing back there, cool as a cue customer between the two tackles with deep pocket and, you know, putting into a tight window, 20 yards down the field, 26 yards down the field. It's coaching. I think that's coaching.
What do you think of Brian Hoyer?
I liked him too.
Yeah. I've never seen him look better, frankly, some of the throws that he made. And so also that's coaching and the protection that they had that night. And you're going up against one of the worst franchises run by a complete boob right now. So I think that also is what, you know, plays into the performance of those quarterbacks on Thursday night.
Correct. I want the Patriots to get their next quarterback before their next coach is one of these boobs. Because more than likely, you're going back to the pack, baby, coaching-wise, big time. Because the gap is just stupid between Bill and everybody else.
Yeah, and I agree with that. But the it factor still matters when it comes to the quarterback. Those intangibles, being a leader off the field, knowing that, you know, your teammates trust you when you're down seven and you got to march down the field with 2 minutes to go to at least tie the game or win it if you're down six. And we don't know that about Stidham. The way he's being talked about by certain people, it's like, all right, you already believe that. We've seen camp and one preseason game. Like, again, everybody calm down. And to what you're saying, the proof of this is someone like Matt Cassel in that 11-5 season that they had. And even with the little bit that they got out of Jacoby Brissett, who I really don't believe all that much in, clearly they didn't either, but he could, you know, when Brady was out, he was decent enough in that Bills game. Same with Jimmy Garoppolo. We don't really know. Is that more about Bill or is that about Garoppolo? And thanks to Bill, he got the giant payday with the San Francisco 49ers.
Okay, your thoughts. 617-779-0985. Phone lines are open. To me, a lot of people came out of that game excited about Stidham. I came out of it excited about Belichick because that's just what I, and about the system and.
Well, them compared to other teams, again, like that's what the competition is. That's where you're right. Like the Lions, that is night and day. Those two operations couldn't be more different. I wouldn't be shocked if Patricia's out by week five. If that team starts off 0-5, 1-4, he should be out, and then they'll bring in another boob, and it'll be the same cycle all over again. But it really is. It's Belichick and precipitous drop and everybody else.
Okay, the thing is, like, you know, I was threatening to remember my preseason bet last year against the Patriots in game one?
To the Redskins,
who could forget, Mike?
Yeah.
I was threatening to do it again, and then I sort of backed off because...
You realized it was the Lions and Matt Patricia?
No, I forgot they were actually practicing. Like, the whole thing with the Redskins last year, they didn't do any of these joint practices.
Oh, right.
Bill barely, like, they gave them every other day off. They barely hit the field. They were barely in pads, and then they played a preseason game. So I'm like, there's no way they're going to be ready, and they weren't. It was the fourth stringers that won that game. I was still right, is what I'm trying to say. But this year, I didn't place that bet, and I didn't feel as strongly about it when I realized, oh, yeah, they're doing those joint practices. So the Lions and the Patriots had equal time, equal amount of practices. They were practicing against each other. And one team was crisp because they just put in the work and Bill just engaged them. And the next thing you know, they look like an actual real football team. And Detroit looks like they should be in the Alliance of American Football or whatever the hell that league was.
CFL or something.
You know what I mean? And that's just, it's one of a million little examples of that. And I thought it came out in the quarterback play. Lions have no one else who can play because I don't know if they have anyone else who can coach them. And then who's coaching those guys? Here you get the coaching. And you have to have some ability, obviously, because Ryan Mallett never looked like that, to your point. Rohan Davey never looked like that. If you draft a complete dud, you're in trouble. So I'm not telling you Stidham has nothing.
Kid's got an arm, though. His two best passes were the two drops by Maurice Harris. He put one left sideline, should have been a touchdown, right in his breadbasket, and the kid dropped it. That pass was beautiful. And then he had another one that probably should have been picked off, but Jacoby Myers played defensive back on it and knocked it away. So it wasn't like he was perfect on the night, but good. Kid's got a good arm.
The ball gets there. I want an expert to tell me about that three-quarters delivery. That doesn't feel exactly right. All right, to your phones, as promised. Matt in Worcester, lead us off.
Hey, guys, just a quick question. It's not really up to Belichick if they want to extend Brady, correct? I mean, that's totally on Kraft. I mean, if Belichick doesn't like it, too bad. I mean, same thing with Garoppolo. He wanted Garoppolo to stay. He wanted to ship Brady out. Kraft said no, right? I mean, it's totally up to Kraft. And two, don't you think that if another team reached out to Brady, gave him a huge contract, don't you think Kraft would match? Go ahead, I'll listen.
So I've always thought Kraft would never let Brady play for another team. And yes, it is all up to Kraft. It's not up to Bill. 100%, which is why I said, if I'm Robert, the smart business decision is to make sure that Bill outlives Brady so Bill picks the next guy. And the next quarterback is brought up into the Patriots world under Bill Belichick. So again, if Belichick says to Robert, I'm going to coach for 5 more years, you know, 6-7 more years, I'm not going anywhere anytime soon, Robert, then you can screw around with Brady as much as you want. You know, you can hold on to Brady, and I don't mean screw around. You know what I mean? You can hang on too long with Brady as much as you want. If Bill's going to be here in the year 2023, 2024, then go ahead. He'll draft and develop that next guy. Okay, fine. If Bill's going to give you that kind of commitment, but if Bill's really going to stick to his I'm not Marv Levy and he's got 3 years left, oh boy, I'm making sure that I'm making that quarterback move when Bill's still here. And he starts with Bill as his coach, and this is his system.
And another team, I think, is going to put them in a very difficult situation. So I'm reading from Sports Illustrated last week, and while you were out, and this is from a guy, Connor Orr, who talked to unnamed GMs and whatnot. And he goes, he talked to three different people, GM and other people. So the first answer, $35 million fully guaranteed when he picks up that phone at 401. The second, $45 million, assuming the team is rife with talented players, quite literally one quarterback away from contending for the Super Bowl. The former GM also second at $35 million estimate. If they get those kind of numbers, if Brady gets those offers, yeah, the Crafts might
want to do. Brady for 1 or 2 years will be the highest paid quarterback in the league.
The Crafts might want to do that because they don't want to see him retire in a different uniform. What do you think Belichick's going to do?
Well, Belichick would say no way.
Right.
But it's not his call. It's not his call. But if Bill's going to hang on for 5 years, and go ahead, overpay Brady for the last couple of years, and fine, just so Bill's here to pick the next guy. But I have no doubt that I think Brady would make that kind of money on a 1 or 2 year thing. Like, yeah, just for example, let's say the Broncos. Let's say the Broncos have, you know, they get their defense right back and they're right there, but Flacco is crappo and they're just literally a quarterback away. You don't think Elway and the folks in Denver for 1 year?
They did it before with Peyton Manning.
2 years?
Well, they didn't even know if he could play.
2 years, 35 per, highest quarterback in the league for 2 years? Here you go. You know they do. They're in a heartbeat.
How about the Rams? Move on from Goff easily. You've got the best roster in the NFL around Brady.
Moving into a new building, yep, et cetera, yeah, et cetera. Like,
in L.A.?
Oh, he would get it.
Giselle would like to be.
He would get it.
See, I think that's that kind of number puts the Crafts in such a difficult position, and I don't think that they would do it. I really don't.
Dave in Plymouth, your thoughts?
So the only sort of fly in the ointment here, Mike, is what if Josh McDaniels is the next coach? So what if Bill isn't picking the quarterback?
That's my problem. That's what I can't. If I'm Kraft, I can't let that happen. I want Bill drafting and for a year or two coaching this quarterback.
Okay, then. But you've basically just painted the scenario of no win. Because if Kraft says, no, it's got to be Brady, and Bill says, I'm not going to stick around for 5 years, then what? Then you've got loggerheads.
That's what I'm talking about. That's why I'm right? It's not loggerheads. I just think that's, to me, if I'm the owner, I want Bill picking, developing, and bringing the next quarterback into this world.
I can't. See, I feel like Kraft has to sit down and say, what is it that I really want? If legacy is this is important to me, I could be the greatest owner in NFL history. I already am because I've won 6 Super Bowls. But think about this. If Bill is bringing in the next guy and Stidham, even if Stidham is 50% of Brady, don't you think they could still win one or two more Super Bowls with him?
Oh, I don't know about Super Bowls. You're winning divisions and going deep in the AFC against this collection of bozos. I mean, I've said it before and I'll say it again. If Brady, God forbid, snaps his ankle tomorrow and misses the year, you're going 10-6 with Brian Hoyer and winning the division.
Yeah, I still don't believe that.
Oh, I do. Yeah. And you know what? I might up it to 11-5. I might up it to
11. You believe in the kid?
Whether it's Hoyer or Stidham, you're winning at least 10 games. You're winning the division, and you're probably in that divisional round, maybe even at home. Maybe even get another bye. Who knows the way the AFC is.
You'd go undefeated if you played the Lions each week.
Well, but the league is the Lions. The league has become the Lions. More game thoughts and what we saw on Thursday night. I know it's several days ago, but it was my first day since then, so I went back and watched this thing. Some more thoughts on the Patriots with your calls after McCarthy's up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
Wow.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Second down and 7. In motion comes TJ Hawkinson, the rookie tight end out of Iowa. And in the backfield is Jamie Collins on the snap, and he's sacked Tom Savage right near the 30-yard line. The athleticism of Collins, we've seen it before. It's nice to have it back for the Patriots.
All right, some other game thoughts. Dan Roach, Matt Chatham with the call here on 98.5, the Sports Hub last Thursday. Got to be impressed with the defense and the pass rush, Murray. Have to be. And is Jamie Collins smaller than when he was here the first time around?
I mean, they look weird with him with a quarterback's number on. Maybe that's what affected you.
Well, I don't know what it is, man. I just don't remember him. Maybe I
wear number 8. Yeah, but I remember him being a little bit more top heavy. Yeah. It didn't look like he was.
I don't know. I felt he was longer and more explosive. Maybe it was just that play. Maybe that left tackle. He just, embarrassed on that sack there. I don't know. But the burst there from Collins, he was always athletic. I just felt like he was a little leaner, a little quicker than what I remember.
No, I think it just speaks to how deep they are and what, then credit to some of the down there every day covering the team. And like Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, saying that this team is going to be extremely deep. It could be the best defense they've had since like 2014. And with 9 sacks and with 6 coming in the first half when Detroit's still playing their starters, I mean, that didn't feel fluky. Like they got guys coming from all angles.
Okay, so the defense and the pass rush, obvious. Also, what stood out to me, the defense, there are guys on the team that I forgot about. I forgot Danny Shelton's on the team. And not that he's awesome, but if he's your third guy,
solid.
I mean, that's really what he's playing as. He's playing as a depth guy, because that's who was playing. A lot of, not everybody, but I don't know. I forgot Danny Shelton. I forgot John Simon. I forgot about those guys.
Yeah, and they re-upped Simon to like a 2-year deal. Came on a little bit towards the end of last year.
And those are just depth. Those are, like second, third guys on the depth chart, which means you're in pretty good shape. So you should all be pleased with the defense. I think we all felt that way going in, and I think Thursday reiterated it. The receivers, I'm sort of hot and cold on. I'm not as hot on
Jacoby Myers
or Maurice Harris as a lot of people are. I thought, I don't know.
Harris had those 2 bad drops that Stidham threw to him. Those sucked.
I mean, if he's got that kind of size, he's got to go up and win those balls and get those balls.
Yeah.
And he didn't even have to go win them. They were in his hands. But they were sort of, disputed, I don't know.
How'd you feel about N'Keal Harry before he got dinged up?
So I like better that. I'm not sold on. And this is just me. I haven't watched a single practice, so I'm just. This is on one game, but I wonder about I wonder about Maurice Harris and the Myers kid. Just, I don't know, not as strong as I would like, maybe. I don't know exactly what it is. But Harry, I felt it, except the injury thing. So, and I go back and forth on that too. Did he show his toughness by playing with the injury in the first place and then staying in the game? They had to stop the game and bring him off the field. He was ready to play the next snap.
And he was immediately hobbled too, but yeah, he was lining up.
Okay, so do I say tough kid, he wants to play, they have to drag him off the field, or do I say injury prone? And so I'm a little, I don't know exactly how to feel about that, but
that second catch he made on, was on a third and 10, I thought it was awesome.
Like, yeah. To me, I think his physical, the physical ability and the physical stature of him is obvious and eye-popping, and I don't feel that way with Harris and the other kid. I don't feel that way.
Yeah, Harry's talent just jumps off the screen at you. And again, like, what can you really take away from fake football? You're like, no, oh, wait, that kid has some legit athleticism, skills, just the physical ability. What does that usually mean in this offense, though? Because you need to have the other things, the intangibles. You need to get into Tom Brady's circle of trust. You need to be out there on the field. You need to learn the playbook. You
need to run routes.
Yeah. Why is Jacoby Myers ahead of him?
Because
why is he ahead of him?
Because he knows how to run routes.
Right.
And my guess is N'Keal Harry doesn't know how to run routes.
So, again, it doesn't matter if you have all of those abilities and you can jump over cornerbacks and, you know, go to the back shoulder catch like that. Like, that's great, and that's eye-popping stuff. What does that matter in week one when Tom Brady needs you to be in the right spot?
I just don't know if those other two have the strength to get off the line when they're playing against real coverage, or I just wonder about those two. I do. Or winning balls in the air, or the physicality. There's just, we'll see. I don't know. I wasn't as goo-goo gaga for those two as some others. Small thing, this Bailey kid, the punter.
Yeah.
You know, with the kickoffs.
People love the hang time.
Okay, so he had that one punt with, I guess, massive hang time. Whoop-de-doo. The kickoffs, you know, he's here for the kickoffs, I suppose. And pretty much everyone was a touchback or into the end zone. You know, here were his first whatever kickoffs. 2 yards deep, touchback. 4 yards deep, touchback. Touchback, and then I guess there was one in garbage time that he put on the three. I didn't see that one. I didn't stick around.
I did either.
So I don't know if he meant to, that was intentionally short or not. But it just shows you the punting here has been fine, and Allen's been good, and they bring in competition. And it looks like Allen's done, and it's going to be this Bailey kid because he also kicks off. And then I watched Steven Gostkowski miss another kick.
You like that? 37-yarder?
Mid-season form for Gostkowski.
In a dome?
And I say, how is it everyone on this team gets competition at some point? I'm not telling you to replace Steven Gostkowski. I'm telling you,
push him a little bit. Bring in competition. If everyone else gets it, he should too.
The freaking punter gets it. The quarterback gets it. Every player on the team, when he gets to a certain age or a certain salary, or if he just displays any sort of inconsistency, gets at least competition. Except for this guy. They've never even brought in a second guy ever. I can't remember the last time.
It's never going to happen.
They brought in someone in camp or in the spring or even just for like a one-off workout. Have they ever?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay, so like, I've been talking about this for like 5 years. So I'm not even telling you like they, I'm not even telling you that they, I think they should, but they're obviously not going to. But boy, is it striking. What is it about Gostkowski, about that meathead, the meat, I guess they call him, that they're so afraid of his fragility that they can't even bring in a guy to compete with him?
Jimmy, you got a theory?
Page 34 of the Wells Report.
Attaboy. Hush money.
Mike, Bill Belichick has tried to replace Tom Brady one time.
Oh, he's on his second time right now.
Now he's on his second time, if you want to believe it. You know how many times he's tried to replace Steven Gostkowski, the kicker? Zero.
He's not even
zero.
Matt, he's not even not tried to replace him. He hasn't even brought in a guy for a day that I know of, unless I've missed someone. They've certainly not drafted anyone. They've certainly not brought anyone for a tryout that's been publicized. So how afraid are they of got? And I just find it, I find it remarkable, frankly. I find it amazing. Every other player, including the greatest player in the history of the sport, gets competition except for your kicker. And I don't know why it is, but that's how Bill chooses to manage it.
Well, it's either hush money or it really speaks to his mental fragility or the mental fragility of all kickers. Because if he were to bring in competition, what, you'd rattle him so much you'd lose him for the year? Like, that's what it kind of feels like.
Absolutely. Don't tell me it's not. Don't tell me it's just random that they haven't brought in any other kicker. No, there's a, Bill's got a methodology to this.
Got a method to everything.
There's a reason why everyone, now the punter gets competition, but the kicker, forget about it. So he is, boy, to be Steven Gostkowski, man, that is a protected class.
A bad miss.
I asked you before, I want to hear from a quarterback. Tell me about that Stidham delivery. 3/4, it feels like he's thrown it from 2 o'clock. I like my quarterbacks to throw straight over their ear in the classic sense. I asked for Zoe. Zoe, tell me about Stidham's delivery. Is that worrisome?
I don't think the delivery is worrisome. I just think velocity at times. I thought during the broadcast, especially on the one down the middle, which should have been a touchdown. I think it was Myers that no, wasn't maybe who was it? Was that Harris or Myers?
I think it was. Well, Izzo was one of them, and then he had Harris down the sidelines.
Talking about the Izzo one. Izzo one sort of floated on him. There were times I thought during the game the ball kind of arcs on him. I don't feel the Garoppolo zip that I saw with Jimmy. I don't think he's Jimmy.
Is that right? Because it feels to me like the ball gets there. It just comes out of a weird place.
The ball gets there. He's accurate. I don't know how to term him, Mike. He's accurate. He had really good field presence, which I was kind of surprised at because I think at times, you know, maybe he struggled a little in camp. I mean, but I think that's telling how good the defense was. Now, I was told by two people within that it'll be a telling week this week how they perform against the Titans. I think they respect the Titans' defense a lot more, especially with the push they got last year, than they do the Detroit Lions. And, you know, it wasn't Darius Slay out there. And we'll see how these two guys go against, you know, maybe the ones. I think the ones are going to play a little bit this week. But I was impressed with the kid, but I don't think he's Jimmy.
Okay, so you don't care. But again, just to the one specific thing, you don't care where that delivery starts out there at 2 o'clock.
Depends who you're playing. You got 2 6-foot-7 defensive ends, it's going to be problematic.
Okay. You know? All right, so Brady has his house on the market. Alex Guerrero has his house on the market. Is your house on the you sticking around, Zoe? Or are you going to follow
not
Brady?
He said just put it for a potential sale upcoming. So we're sort of staging it at this point.
Okay,
and we'll see how it goes from there.
Pocket listing, Zoe. It's called a pocket listing. I do wonder about the okay. Zoe doesn't care about the delivery. I just want it's a small thing, but
it did look a little
you notice
weird.
It.
Yeah.
It starts out here. Other game thoughts, the quarterback situation. Maybe my favorite play of the night. I want to give you the favorite play I had from Thursday night coming up right after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
B.O.B. Boob. Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Fourth down and 2, and the Patriots are going to go for it.
Absolutely. They're playing with some pace here. Ran back on the field quickly. Going to go for this 4th and 2.
They've got 4 wide receivers in the game. Shotgun for Hoyer. Holden to his left. Standing at his 40. Hoyer has time. Throws. And it's complete to Berrios. 30. Gets out to the 26. Maybe the 26, 27-yard line, and the Patriots get the first down.
Well, that's a route by Berrios. We've seen Julian Edelman win on a million times. Danny Amendola in the time prior to that. Now Danny's on the other sideline. But bring the route inside. You can end just a little bit and then bounce out to the outside for 8 yards. So you set the defensive up, back up, and then pull it back out to the sideline. Brian Hoyer put it right on.
Again, Roach and Chatham with the call here on 95 The Sports Hub. Zoe and Solsi are doing the TV during the preseason. 4th and 2 at little Edelman Welker option route for they just said it, but for an easy first down pickup. So this is sort of what I'm ranting about today. It's Stidham to Berrios, Brady to, I'm not saying they're all the same. Like Brady to Welker's better, Brady to Edelman's better. I'm just saying, okay. Now you put 2 more guys in there. You run this route that no one else seems to run.
It don't look all that different.
And it ain't that hard. And it's just like easy money. It's just that route is, I guess, really hard to it's not a classic out route. You know, he cuts to the outside after opening up to the inside. And you know, we've seen it a million times. The Amendola thing in the Super Bowl. Chandler just said it. I mean, one, Berrios ran it perfectly. And yes, it was against some bum, I know, but it's like, okay, they got another guy to run that little route from the inside, pick up 2 easy yards. You got a quarterback, and that was Hoyer, right? That wasn't even Stidham, but so you get Hoyer there doing it. It doesn't take much to throw that ball. And all you have to do, the Patriots, I'm glad Chatham mentioned it there, they hurried up to the line. It was 4th and 2. You know, Detroit's sort of like, there's a punt team, what do we do? And meanwhile, the Pats are dialed in. And to the line, set, easy route, easy money, pick up the first down. I'm like, That's what opens my eyes, and that's why I say I need Bill to bring the next quarterback in, because I want him picking up that easy money and not being the team on the other side that's fumbling around. Are we in punting? Are we going? You know, I don't know. And but Berrios, by the way, because the reports on him early in camp were bad, right?
Yeah,
that he wouldn't do anything. I really liked him. I loved him on punt returns.
Yeah, me too.
Didn't he really show a little something on punts?
Yep.
Like another little shifty, smart little returner.
Always fighting for yards, like on those returns that he had. He looked pretty good there.
I thought he looked good overall. And it's like, you know, they drafted him as, oh, here comes the next Edelman. And 2 years later, I watch him in his first preseason game, really, like engage, watch him. I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, there's the next Edelman. There he is. I got the next guy. And maybe he's not. I'm just telling you, like, my just sort of visceral reaction when I was watching it. But that fourth and two play, like, that is... That's it right there. How easy is that? How come no one else can do that? Like, seriously. It's just not that hard.
Yeah. No, that was one. It's like you've seen this before, just, you know, whether it's Edelman or Wes Welker before, even Danny Amendola at times. Now is
Troy Brown.
Be the next guy. Yeah,
it's
right.
So easy. Right. It's so easy. I mean, it seems to me so easy. How hard is it to tell the team, watch it in fourth down and short, we're going to go for it. So stay on the field. Be ready. You know, or call the next play on third down. Right, I'm trying to remember what it was on third. Was it a incomplete? I mean, it's just not that hard. Heads up, we're going for it on fourth here. Watch, we're going to run the whatever, Z banana, whatever you call that play. Watch out for it. And then you line up and you run that thing and that little shifty slot receiver against a, you know, a safety or a linebacker or some, you know, schlub inside corner. That's just so easy. How come they're the only team that does that? Well, I mean, it feels like they're the only team that does that.
You'd also think their head coach, who used to be here as the defensive coordinator.
Guys, watch out for this. They're going to run that little stupid option route. They run it every time.
Have an eye out for something like that.
But he can't because Blutarski up there, the fat dump Patricia, how does he strain his Achilles? He can't move in the first place. How did he rupture?
I don't even know how he did that.
How did he do that? He can't exercise.
He was fooling around on an ATV.
Well, sometime. Because he can't run.
Yeah.
So, like, that's just another thing. Patricia in that ATV. If you're a Lions player and you're already iffy on the guy, because last year was such a debacle, you know, and you know, do we need to buy into this? This guy know what he's doing? And he's rolling around at practice on some golf cart, and then he's coaching the game, like, up on the Gatorade buckets. You see this?
Yeah.
How do you take that guy seriously?
Just call it from the booth, man. Come on.
Go up to the booth, Matt. Right. You're better off just going to the booth. That freaking bozo.
Minor foot injury is what they're calling it.
And he's so the fat dump, the slobs hobbling around out there. It's like, oh my God, they don't. I look at Detroit and I'm like, I feel bad for you guys. You don't have a chance. You don't have a chance. You have no chance. You have no chance. Patrice is just, he's just another slappy who came through here who's got nothing going on for himself. He was just propped up by Bill in the system. And now he's going somewhere else and he's just exposed and he's going to be exposed. But seriously, if you're a player and you look back there at that freaking guy up on his throne, you know, with that foot up on the Gatorade, but like a conductor of an orchestra or something, like it just didn't look right. Get your ass up to the booth.
Well, you're behind everybody too. So what? Everyone's going to have to turn around, like to hear the voice yelling, like, "Oh, right, that's Coach." Yeah, right. Go back up to the booth and have everyone else communicate.
But sadly, most of the teams in the league are closer to Patricia and the Lions than you.
It's true.
And that's just where it's at. And it was just another example of it. And it was, you know, mostly bad. It was an equal number of backups on either side. I felt like, I don't know, I can't tell you exactly, you know, how many starters played on each side, but it felt like the quality of the depth chart was the same. In other words, you know, it was mostly second and third string with a smattering of first mixed in. They had the exact same amount of practice time, the exact same amount of time on the field. They practiced together, for crying out loud. So they really came at it in equal, you know, from an equal footing. And it's like, one team looked like they didn't even, like, have you had a single, you even pay attention to your backups? And the other team was all dialed in. And it was just another indication of where you are versus the league. A small one, tiny fake football indication, McCarthy. I don't mean to get carried away, but that just leads me back to the original thesis, which a lot of people were impressed by Stidham. I was impressed by Belichick. And that goes back to the quarterback thing. If I'm the owner of the team, I'm making sure that Belichick is here to bring in the next quarterback, whether that's Stidham or someone else. We'll find that out. But to me, that's what has to... Robert cannot let Brady outlast Bill. Even if Brady deserves it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because when Bill goes, the next guy, he ain't he ain't going to be as good. Neither is the quarterback, obviously. But at least with Bill here, you got a fighting chance to have something representative. And so those are our leadoff Patriots thoughts. Right back to your phones. We'll do some Red Sox next hour as well. We'll get to your phones immediately after McCarthy's 90-second update. No commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.